Are you excited tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I do conferences, people, they have a conception that when I do a financial conference, that I'll do budgets and numbers, and we're going to do that. We're all going to do all that, right? We're going to do it because that's part of it. But I'm telling you how we got free. See, what I didn't tell you before is when I was in serious debt, I was a financial planner. I already had the budgets. I already knew the numbers. It's kind of crazy, like a plumber with a leaky faucet, right? So that's why I spend so much time telling you how we got out of debt. We call this a financial revolution conference. If you think of a revolution, what do you think of? You think of a government being overthrown. You might see clashes right on television. And that's exactly what has to happen in your life. So you were raised to trust in a system. And you have to throw off that system and have to take on a new system. And that's why I spend so much time helping you understand the spiritual side of debt, the spiritual side of prospering, because it takes money to prosper. To get out of debt takes money. And you know, you can do budgets all day, and people do not get out of debt with budgets. You know, one popular concept is I can just refrain, I can constrain myself, right? I know we can get out of debt if we spend $10 a month on groceries, right? You know what I'm talking about? Let's get out of debt. Let's just constrain ourselves free. Listen, this is vital. Stop looking for money. You see, what we do, what we want to do is we want to learn how to create wealth. See, this is our answer, is creating, either capturing or creating wealth. When we look for money, we're actually operating in a poverty mindset, because the kingdom is in you. We've already made the point that the kingdom within it has everything, correct? That in the kingdom, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom, not that they have a budget. Budgets are awesome. You have to have a budget. But a budget is just a navigation tool. It does not make you free. And so what you want to do is, how do I create wealth? How do I create my future? You know, the year of Jubilee we just talked about was essential, because in the year of Jubilee, you own something. But most people are owned, not own something. They're owned. They don't have options. Slaves don't have options. They're told to show up at 8 o'clock, leave at 5 o'clock, when to take vacation, when to retire. Am I telling the truth?
Yes.
Freedom is having the ability to create your future. Did you know, you do know, that the heart, the Bible says that a heart grows sick. Hope deferred causes the heart to be sick. So many people are sick on the inside. You, as I said, I think this morning, that 33% of people hate, not dislike, hate their job. Have you ever heard someone say, I have to go to work today? Have you ever heard someone say, doggone, I have to go fishing today? I have to go play golf today. I have to, whatever the hobby or whatever it is, what they're passionate about. They don't say that, do they? I get to go do that. Wouldn't it be amazing if you didn't like Friday nights and loved Monday morning? Would it? When you create your future and you own it, you create it. See, you'll have that passion. And you are designed for a unique place. God designed you different from everyone else. And to find that spot that he has for you is where you're going to find your sweet spot. And I'm not saying not to work for people. You know, great companies, great places to work. But the bottom line is, you have to want to be there. Not dread being there. So getting out of debt is a process of creating opportunities, creating wealth, navigating through that, and navigating on the natural side. Now, the natural side we'll discuss in great detail tomorrow. Plus, you're going to have a visit. You're going to be talking to our money coaches one-on-one. They're going to look at every number you have. They're going to say, okay, show me your debt. Show me the interest rate. Show me what you spend. Let me see. You know, we're going to, you know, here's an interesting thing. We started our company 30 some years ago. We found out if people show you their money, they show you their treasure. What I mean by that is, what they call important shows up. Oh, I love my wife. How much do you spend on her? I love God. Show me your checkbook. I can tell you what you love. Right? Now, I'm not trying to bring any condemnation. I'm just saying that God wants you free to walk in His design purpose for your life. It's called your destiny. And as the young woman said, I showed that video for two reasons. I think she does a great job explaining how that functions. But this session is on the Holy Spirit. So your answer is, how do I hear the Holy Spirit's direction? So let's talk about that. When Peter had taxes to pay, he didn't. How did he catch it? Jesus told him. How did they get the fragments? Jesus told them, right? Jesus told him to go catch that fish. When Drinda and I were in serious debt with no hope, we began to learn the kingdom. God gave me a dream in the night to start my own company. I'm not that smart. I was scared to do it. But he showed us to start our own company. And guess what the company's objective was? Helping people get out of debt. But God, we're still in debt. What are you talking about? This is crazy stuff. You mean you want us to start a company helping people get out of debt? Help me first. He said, as you walk this out, you will get free. So we launched that company by faith. And it was an amazing journey. But that company's still in business today, still producing hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, 30 some years later. And that's what got us out of debt. See, the one idea, you're that far away. One idea, one missing point in the puzzle of how this thing operates is what happened. These stories you see, we've been sharing with you, we have so many stories, but usually it's just knowledge. It's just getting some piece they didn't know, just a piece of knowledge how the kingdom operates. Or now the practical side is just as important. You have to do your part. I mean, so let's talk about that. Peter, there's fish over there in the deep water. That's a revelation, right? Remember? Okay, Luke 5, they're fishing. And Jesus borrows the boat, which what happens, friend, when he borrowed the boat? You now know. He borrows the business. What happened to the business? It changed kingdoms, all right? And so that's important. It changed kingdoms. And tomorrow night, I'm going to talk about the process God taught us on the steps. People say, well, how do you actually do it? We're going to talk about the steps. We're going to get into that and the practical side tomorrow night. It's going to be great. But this morning and tonight, in my concept, is that you have to understand the kingdom or nothing else makes a difference. You can have all the best budgets, the biggest numbers are numbers, okay? But you have to know this. So they're out there and they fished all night and caught nothing. That's the earth curse system. They labored, nothing. Nothing. Jesus, of course, borrows the boat. They changed jurisdiction, changed kingdoms. Jesus now gets a word of knowledge downloaded by the Holy Spirit. The fish are over there in the deep water, right? Anyone can catch fish if Jesus tells you where they're at. Friend, listen to me. One dream, one idea, one concept. All the Holy Spirit has to do is show you where they're at, and your life can change in a second. But there's more to it than that. When Jesus was walking on the bank, what were they doing? They were washing their nets, meaning that Peter had to know how to catch fish. The practical side, you have to. Let me ask you a question. Where are your nets at? People say, well, God gave me a vision. That's fantastic. How are you paying for it? Well, God. Oh, I know God, but how are you paying for it? God, I know that, but how are you paying for it? God, I know that, but how are you paying for it? Where's the net? What is God going to fill? What's the plan? How's it going to come to pass? I don't know. It's okay not to know for a while, but eventually you have to have the plan. Does that make sense? Over there in the deep water, it's okay for a little bit, but eventually you have to have that is where I need to go. Over there in the deep water, cast your nets over there. Cast your nets meant that he had to have knowledge of being a fisherman, right? You have to have knowledge in the practical side to harvest. You see, I mean, so many Christians know how to sow, but they don't have a clue how to harvest. They don't know how to engage the process of hearing the direction and knowing how to harvest. They're sowing all right, but a lot of times they don't even know what the harvest looks like. If you don't know what the harvest looks like, you're not even going to know if it's ripe or not. How are you going to know when to harvest if you don't know what you're believing, what's going to show up, right? I get emails all the time from people that say, I don't know why I'm not prospering. Why? I can't hardly read their email. The grammar and spelling is so bad, I have to kind of walk my way through it. It doesn't take much time to figure out why they're not prospering. It takes both, friend. You understand? You have your part to play, God does his part, and together you're a team, and God's going to help you prosper and harvest in life. That is vital. But to do that, you have to hear. Go catch a fish at the lake, the place. The harvest, the fish. Throw your line, not the net, a line, the method. See, you have to know how to hear the location, the timing, the method, what it looks like, what the heart, you have to have the details to work with the Holy Spirit, correct? You follow me? And all Peter had to do, he knew how to fish, but he also had direction on the location, the method, what he's looking for. There's a gold coin in the fish. It's invisible. No one knew it was there. The Holy Spirit did. But if you go catch that fish, you'll have the gold. You'll have the coin. I don't think it was a gold coin, actually, but it was a coin. You'll have the coin. And so we have to learn how to work with the Holy Spirit, start a business. I didn't know how to start a business. I came out of finances, so God took my experience that I had and converted it over into a spiritual business. He converted it to a purposed business that began to prosper and got us completely out of debt. He'll take your experiences and rechange things so you can have a different net. It's interesting when people start thinking in terms of prospering. People, I'm just using an example here, okay? So someone says, well, I have a $10 an hour job down at the convenience store. And they begin to think of prospering. They think, well, I could work double time, overtime. That's great, temporarily. But you see, you have to become the owner. There's an apprenticeship cycle to this thing that you have to learn how things work. And so we have to understand, and we'll talk about that here tonight, there's a process, everyone say the word process, to enable to posture you to capture the opportunities. Let me say it again. Will you allow God to posture you to catch the opportunities that he wants to bring to your life? I have people say, well, I'm believing to pay off a $1 million house, but they can't pay a $20 phone bill. Say, like, okay, that's good. That's a good goal. But we got to work towards that because you're not at a $1 million level right now. We got to move you down the road, right? When I started my company, I began to pray and say, okay, God, I see this as my goal. I wanted to produce at this level. He said, well, you can't do that right now. I said, why not? He says, because you don't know how to do it. I said, I know that. He said, no, you don't get it. You'll not know how to do it till you get to this point to know that you even don't know how to do it. Oh, he said, you're going to have to rebrand yourself twice to get that goal. See, God has to posture you to enable you to capture the opportunities that you are desiring to see in your life. It's a process. And this process is the Holy Spirit's going to lead you into that. And it's a journey and it's fun. It's awesome. But you have to know how to hear the Holy Spirit. Because the kingdom is in you. The kingdom in you has the treasure. The kingdom is you. The kingdom in you is your treasure. It's your treasure. You have to know how to hear that and then walk it out in the natural side. I remember when we first began to pastor, God had to teach me how to hear the Holy Spirit. You know, if you're pastoring, leading people on a spiritual walk, you have to know how to hear the Holy Spirit. I was a brand new pastor and we had a very small congregation. We were in worship one Sunday morning and I saw a picture of an earring and then I saw a picture of a cabinet. And I didn't know what it meant. I thought, well, that's strange, jewelry in this cabinet. So I stopped. I said, has someone lost jewelry? We only had 40 people in the church. Has someone lost jewelry here tonight? And in the morning, and my daughter Amy raised her hand. I said, Amy, we'll talk about that after church. In the vision that I had, I saw a pearl drop earring. So we went out to eat at a steakhouse, and Amy's there. I said, Amy, I had this picture of a pearl drop earring and a cabinet. Now tell me, you lost jewelry? She said, yeah, Dad, she says, I was looking for the other one of these. And she pulled out of her pocket a pearl drop earring. Oh, I know where it's at. It's in the TV cabinet. That's what I saw. So we went home all excited, dug through the cabinet, couldn't find it. And I'm bothered all afternoon. I know I saw that earring in that cabinet. So after a while, I called Amy. I said, Amy, come on, we got to go down and tear that thing apart. It's got to be in that TV cabinet. So we went down there, and this time we took the TV out, everything out, and in the very back of the cabinet was the pearl drop earring. See, God has to teach you how to hear the Holy Spirit. Ideas, concepts, direction are the key to receiving the double portion, walking in it, creating ideas, creating businesses, all come from the Holy Spirit leading you in life. Now, strategies are the Holy Spirit's sweet spot. You know, you may not know a whole lot, but he knows a whole lot. How many would say the Holy Spirit knows more than you? Okay. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's your counselor. You have within you the counselor, and he will lead you into truth. He'll teach you all things. In you already is the answer you need. You have the treasure chest in you. When we were first coming out of debt, one of the things we needed was a house. We had the old farmhouse, remember? Old farmhouse. Remember I talked about the broken window panes and everything busted. Busted cars, broken house, carpet that was found alongside the road, the mattresses in the nursing home discard pile. You know, you name it. We were just pawn shops. You know, we would divide a Happy Meal among three kids. I mean, we lived that way. Yeah, that's funny now, but then it wasn't. So we began to prosper. We paid cash for 55 acres, that was a day of sale. I mean, you have to understand to buy that land cash. But let me tell you, the land showed up. We just started our church and we began to prosper. Our business began to prosper. And so I said, we need to go out and find a house or find land. And I went out one day and began, you know how the real estate agents drive you around? I said, I don't have time for this. I don't have time to go look for real estate. So we sowed a seed. We said, God, here's what we want. We don't have time. I've got things to do. I don't have time to drive around for 2, 3, 4 weeks trying to find the perfect spot. You know the perfect spot. We're going to believe God for 50 plus acres. We want woods on it, land on it. We want to have a big barn on it. That's just something I said. It's just growing up in Ohio, they have big barns. I like barns. I want a big barn on it. And so we're coming up to the, we sowed our seed and we are doing a marriage conference. We are a brand new, maybe 50, 60 people, 70 in the church. And we said, we need to do a marriage conference. And I told Drenda, I don't know anything about marriage. She says, that's why we're doing it. True story. She's very sneaky. Yeah, listen to these CDs, books, you'll figure it out, right? And I didn't know about marriage because I never saw my dad hug my mom my entire life. He never showed any affection to my mother ever. He never told her that he loved her. He never told me that I was loved until he was 80 years old. And he gave his heart to Christ. That's the first time he ever said it really in my life. So I didn't have a clue about how women worked, you know, or anything about emotional relationships or any of that. So anyway, we were doing this marriage conference. And so we had this conference set up. We rented a hotel downtown Columbus. Now remember, we're only a church of 60 people. We hired the phone company to give us that double ring with a different number, you know. Now we were homeschooling our kids. We had one room in this old farmhouse. And so when the phone rang double, Drenda would say, quiet kids, quiet. Hello, what's the name of the ministry? What was it called, Drenda? Faith Life Ministries. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Gary and Drenda, they're great speakers, she would say. Oh, they're awesome, she would say. They're great speakers. Oh, yes. And she would sell them on coming to this marriage conference. And little do they know, they're actually talking to Drenda, you know, and the kids are all quiet. And then she hangs up and they go, and they take off again. Five kids in that one room, you know, they're all bouncing off the walls. So we decided to sew the cost of that marriage conference that we would pay for. The room, we would take it upon ourselves, not our church. We decided we would sow that marriage conference towards our land and house. So we did that. The week of the marriage conference, a guy came into our church, one of our people in our church. They didn't know that we had sown for anything or whatever. They came up and they said this, we found your land. I said, really? Yeah, it's 55 acres. It's out in the country. Has this big white barn on it. Really? We drove out there and there was 55 acres, had a marsh, had about 17, 18 acres of woods, beautiful rolling hills in Knox County, hardwoods, and a big white barn, like 50 by 55, old 1920 barn on the property. Gorgeous. So we paid cash for that. Now, can you imagine how that felt? I mean, 9 years and to walk and to pay cash for that land. I mean, I had to pinch my, I couldn't even hardly believe that's my land. That's my land. I mean, you know how many days I drove to that old farmhouse thinking, God, I don't have any money. I have nothing. What am I ever going to do? How am I ever going to, you know? All right, so we got the land, right? How many know there's still a problem? We got to have a house. And houses are not cheap, right? So we prayed and we sowed. We believed God for a house, you know, okay? And we began to research how to get into a house cheaper. How can we get into a cheap, you know, a house? Is there a better way to get a house? And we began to research these modular companies. You've heard of modular, not the trailers, but they're modular. They put them together in pieces. They're stick-built houses, but they build them in a factory. Then they assemble them. You know what I'm talking about? And they're much cheaper. They're well-designed. They're a great house. And so we looked at three companies, and in our price range, we finally came to a conclusion that we could buy this one. We came to a plan we liked, and we liked it. And we thought, this will work. This will work. This will work. Catch me. This will work. All right. And so we were ready to sign the contract, and we were invited to speak in Virginia at a homeschool convention, because at that time we were teaching people how to get out of debt. They said, we heard you taught at the Ohio homeschool convention. Would you come and talk to ours about families, you know, getting out of debt? So we went down and we talked about that. But we were invited to stay at a person's home. A homeschool family had invited us to stay with them. So we pull into their property. It's a beautiful southern house. We began talking to them. We sat down at supper that day, and your house is awesome. They said, yeah, we just finished it. We built it ourselves. I said, what do you mean? We built it ourselves. You mean you hired someone to build it? No, we built it ourselves. You built it yourself? You framed it? Yeah. You built it. We built all of it ourselves. I said, are you contractors? No, I work down at this corporation. I did this part-time. Oh, we're building a house, we said. Great. I said, we have the plans with us. We had taken them with us to look over on this trip. Would you like to see them? Oh, we'd love to. So we bring the plans of the modular house out, lay it on the table, and this lady begins to look at the plans. She says, this isn't going to work. Your pastor's right. I said, yeah. There's no entertainment space in this house. Your kids, you have five, right? Yeah. There's no room for the kids. So what happens a couple years when they get bigger? There's no room here. Look at your kitchen. It's too small. You got to have a bigger kitchen. And before long, she convinced us this house is not what we want to build on our 55 acres. So I said, well, how can we build a house with the money we have? They said, that's easy. You build it. Now, you know, that's a joke, right? No, they said, you build it. Right. They said, no, it's not hard. They went this long discussion of how we could build the house, subcontract it. They mentioned a book we could order on how to do it, you know, and do the things we could do. And we began to look at it. And I realized, I had a friend tell me, you could wire the whole house. It's not that hard. Yeah. I had never held a piece of 12-2 wire in my life. Never even seen. I knew nothing what was behind the wall of a house. Never wanted to know, you know, as long as it works, right? He said, yeah, you could do all the electric. You could do this. You could do that. So we kept praying about it. And finally, we had peace. We're going to build our own house. Drenda, because I was busy with the church and subcontracting, she was going to be the general contractor. She would hire out the subs, and we would do as much as we could. I wired the whole house, all of it, by myself. Had a couple friends help, but one guy came the first night and showed me how to do it and left. And I wired the whole house. Drenda laid the tile. She laid the tile in the house. We did all this work, you know, we did all this kind of stuff. But the story is this, that we built a house that was twice as big as the modular. We saved a couple hundred thousand dollars in the house. We had this gorgeous house, 7,000 square feet, on this beautiful land, hardwood, I said today, hardwood floors, crown molding, new appliances, six bedrooms, whatever, just totally awesome. House, moving out of this old little beaten farmhouse to this house, we're like, it's a double portion. But how did that happen? If we had not have gone to that house in Virginia, where that couple said, can we just give you some advice? Can we counsel you what we would do? If we had not have gone to that house, the modular would have worked for a little bit, but we would have had to build something else or move. Friend, listen, the Holy Spirit has the plan. This is what you get. The Holy Spirit has your plan, has your strategy. You may not have a clue. We didn't have a clue. I mean, I'm still shocked that we built that ourselves and wired that house and all of that. I mean, some people that do it all the time would say, yeah, that's pretty, yeah, that makes sense. But for us, we didn't know how to do any of it. And we built that house. See, God will show you a plan that may not make sense right away, but he has a plan to get you where you need to be. And this all comes by hearing the Holy Spirit, trusting him to lead you in the plans to live debt-free and how it works. But you need to understand a few things about how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit gives you glimpses and visions. How many found that out? He doesn't lay out the whole picture, right? He just gives you a glimpse, because what we need to understand is in any plan, there's always preparation. And the Holy Spirit always leads you towards preparation before he lays out the whole thing, or you would faint with, you've got to be kidding, right? So he leads you with dreams and visions to keep you on the right path as he's training you for what is happening. But now we needed to go into this a little bit further here. Luke chapter 8, verse 10 says, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." Why did Jesus speak in parables? Why did he speak in mysteries? Because of this very important key. Satan changes tactics if he can pick up on the plan. All right, Satan changes tactics. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7 and 8. This is why God waits to the midnight hour. You ever said that? I don't know why God waits to the midnight hour. It's like, why did he just tell me right now? Because you'll blab it. I know we started television. Our bills started at $9,000 a month for airtime. And this is when we're building the Now Center. And they went to $50,000 a month in airtime. And I was getting, God, you know that bill's coming? Yeah. Is it due yet? He says. I said, no, then shut up. It's not due yet. I've got it covered. And he did. But you have to learn to walk with the Holy Spirit, because he leads with visions and dreams. And Satan will change tactics if he picks up on the plan before you're ready to occupy it, before you're ready to capture it, before you're ready to walk in it. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 says, we speak of secret wisdom. We seek what kind of wisdom?
Secret.
Why is it a secret? Secret from who? From the enemy. Secret wisdom of this age, excuse me, verse 7, speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden from who? The enemy. And that God destined for our glory, that means you're to know the wisdom that's hidden, before time began, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan would have changed tactics if he picks up. He's in darkness, friend. He can only react. You know this. He only can react to what God is doing. People say, well, why did Jesus tell Peter the first fish? Why not the 10th fish? This is just my thought. But the thought is, if Satan saw Peter digging in every fish's mouth, after a while, he's going to say, something about those fish. See, God is always ahead of the enemy, and these plans and strategies, supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, are your advantage. And God downloads those into our spirit that we then capture opportunities, create wealth in spite of the enemy. He can't stop it. And this is what I want to get across to you before we head into the practical side. This is how I got out of debt. God gave me a dream, start a business, do this, do that, do that. This is vital that you understand this. So we know that Satan would change tactics if he understood. Now, if we look over at First Samuel, we'll find a little bit more information about this. I think it's something that's interesting. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we find the story of David and Goliath. And we look at verse 38. We find these words. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him, bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over his tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said. I'm not used to this. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand. He's a shepherd. Remember, he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Now, David, it says in verse 48, as the Philistine moved closer to attack David, David did what? Verse 48. David did what? He ran closer toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it, of course, and knocked Goliath out. But the bottom line is, when he was coming towards the Philistine, in verse number 42, it says, he looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? Now, that's his staff, right? All right, here's what I want you to get. What if David would have run circles around Goliath for a long time? What caught his attention? The stick. You come at me with a stick? Oh no. David had a hidden plan. The stick was a decoy. The Philistine saw the stick. You come at me with a stick? But David ran towards him, having the sling as his primary objective. The staff was a decoy. And because he did not procrastinate, he took him out with a hidden plan. This is exactly what what God wants to do in your life. He is going to give you a hidden strategy. What would happen if Peter would have said, you know, it's not such a good day to go fishing. I know you said go catch a fish and I'll find a coin, but I'm tired right now. What would have happened? Or what would have happened on the hillside with all the bread and fish, and Jesus said, pick it up. And they go, well, you know, we're pretty stuffed right now. I tell you what, we'll wait till tomorrow to do that. What would have happened to the bread and fish? Been gone. Having a plan is hidden from the enemy, and when it's revealed to you, the enemy picks up on it. When it's revealed to you, and tomorrow we'll talk about the timing, when you have the plan, you have the timing, you can't procrastinate because the enemy intercepts it. He can figure it out. But you act undercover with a Holy Spirit strategy. He's taken off guard, just like Goliath was. I mean, Gary and Drinda Cassie having a television broadcast called Fixing the Money Thing? I mean, he could have never seen that happening. Starting a company, helping people get out of debt? He would not have imagined that in 1,000 years. They're no threat to me. Do you understand? God delights in using the foolish. He delights in building the plan that takes the enemy out. It's awesome. All right, here's the scripture we're going to study for a minute. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is all the treasure you need. Every answer you have is in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells where at? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he says, the kingdom of God is like treasure that is hidden in a field. Hidden from who? The enemy, yes. Now, it's in a field. We know from Jesus's previous parables, he said that the field or the ground was like the human spirit. Remember? A man scatters the word on the ground. That's his spirit. In you is the treasure of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on and says, so the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden. It's hidden from Satan. You have it. You find it. You need an answer. The Holy Spirit gives it to you. You hear the answer, but here's the mistake so many people make. They just jump out. I heard from God, and they go out and they mess it all up because it wasn't time for that yet. Follow the scripture. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man finds it, he hides it again. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. So basically what he does, he can't afford it yet. He can't occupy it yet. There's some things he has to do to prepare to capture the opportunity. I have seen so many people self-destruct. I have seen people that had been absolutely anointed by God step out and launch a church when they had no business starting a church. They weren't emotionally prepared for it. They weren't mature enough because they heard God. They missed the beginning for the end. They did not realize that God was leading them with that call to prepare. They launched out and they shipwrecked. I have talked to business owners who said, I've heard from God. We got a great business idea. Fantastic. What have you vetted out? What have you checked out about it? What have you Googled about it? What's the legal consequences of it? Tell me how it works. Well, we don't know. God said it, so it's going to work. Not so. He gave you the picture so that you could prepare to capture and occupy the vision. Timing is just as important as the actual direction. Just because you hear the direction does not mean you're to step out into it. It usually means, are you able to capture it? Is it time to occupy or is it time to prepare? Usually it's time to prepare. As I said earlier, can you occupy it? Will you allow God to posture you, to train you, to occupy the vision he's given you? All right, so it's hidden from the enemy, giving you time. He hides it again. He doesn't go out and blab it everywhere. Remember Zechariah? The angel said, you're going to have a child, remember? Zechariah in the temple, remember that? And you're named him John. And you know he didn't believe the angel, remember that? And he said, you'll not speak till John shows up. Why did the angel say that? Because if Zechariah went out there and started blabbing it out loud, the enemy's going to pick up on it. He said, you can't talk. You can't talk until John's here. So many people blab, blab, blab to the wrong people at the wrong time, and they get themselves the enemy opportunity to set up all kinds of frustrations in situations. Now, the Bible does say that a multitude of counselors brings wisdom. You just have to know who you're talking to. You have to know who you're talking to, who you're sharing your idea with, right? You have to be wise in what you're doing. So the treasure's in you, friend. So how do we hear these mysteries? I mean, let's just be honest. It's a mystery. If you already knew it, you had already done it. Okay? Your answer really is a mystery. Your answer is a mystery. You would have already done it. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. He's your counselor. He has a plan for your life. And you need to know the mystery. I always say it this way at church. God will help you unravel the mystery of you. We need that, right? As I said, most people don't know themselves. They're under pressure. They make decisions based on finding money. They have no clue who they really are. But not you, my friend. You have an assignment right here in Fort Worth, Texas. You have an assignment wherever you're at. God has a great plan for your life. But you need to know how to hear his voice and how to discern how the kingdom operates to step into it. So in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, let's take a look at the puzzle. How do we find these things out? And I know your church teaches this, Pastor George, Terry, they teach us a lot, but I need to review this. I'm assuming there could be people here or especially online tonight or watching the network that this may be new material. So I want to cover this briefly. Is that okay? Okay. So even though you know it, a review is always good when you're passing a test. And the test of life starts tomorrow morning. So it's always good to review. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. We're going to pick up where we left off. None of the rulers, verse 8 of chapter 2, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would have changed tactics. All right. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Right? You ever heard that mentioned at a funeral? Yeah, I have. Basically, what it's saying is that you probably don't know the answer. Verse 10. So, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But, everyone say the word, but. God has revealed it to who? Us. What has he revealed to you? What you have not seen, what you've not heard, what you've not thought. Gary, start a company helping people get out of debt. That's nuts. Really? I never thought that. I never heard that. I never imagined that. Why don't you go on television next? Oh, right. Pastor a church while you're at it. Right, okay. It's getting crazier by the minute, right? Oh, no. That's your destiny. See, God knows your destiny. He knows those giftings in you he's placed that will come out as you step by faith in what he's called you to do. Those things that have been buried when you've worked just as a slave, they'll come out. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit of God searches how many things? All things, even the deep things of God. I think God knows a few things, don't you? The Spirit of God in you knows everything. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit? So this gives us a clue. Your spirit is very closely tied to your thoughts. Your mind and thoughts are so closely tied together, you have a hard time distinguishing the two. Okay? So people say, what does God's voice sound like? It's like a thought with a different twang to it. It comes up out of your spirit instead of out of your mind. It's like your thought, but a different twang to it, right? You got it? Okay. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. That makes sense, right? We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we what? This is what? This is important. That we may understand what God has freely given us. When you're born again, your spirit becomes one with God's spirit. His thoughts now interact with your spirit, and because your spirit's so closely tied to your mind, you can pick up on the thoughts of God. Is that making sense? Now, Paul says, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit of God, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Now, that phrase, spiritual words, Paul talks about that later in 1 Corinthians when he says in 2 Corinthians 2, I might have the wrong verse. I have the wrong verse here. It's 1 Corinthians 14. I think it's 9 through 16. I'm not sure on this. This is a wrong. I see it's wrong here. But anyway, he says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit. I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I'll also sing with my understanding. So if I pray in a tongue, Paul says, if I pray in a tongue, I'm praying in spiritual words. That's what he says. See that? So when he says we speak not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit of God. What's he talking about? Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. The man without the Spirit of God does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about... What does it say? What does it say? It says all things. Do you know it's possible to make right decisions every single time? I didn't say that. The Bible did. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment, meaning he's not subject just to the earth realm's judgment, ability to make a judgment. He is not subject to that. He's not limited by that. The Spirit of God in you gives you the ability to make right decisions every time. Friend, we ought to be rejoicing about that, right? Because he has your answer. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the thoughts of God. And this is what we need to tap into to design our future. Of course, in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about this again. This is review for most of you. But I said again, it's always good to review when you take a test. So we're going to just cover one more little bit of scripture here on these basic principles that we need to understand. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, Paul says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth. All right, note that, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan where? Inwardly, groaning, referring to as a woman gives birth. What happens when a woman gives birth? She is giving birth to something completely new that has never existed before, correct? And so when he says the word groaning, he's not talking about us groaning. He's talking in an analogy as a woman gives birth, the Holy Spirit in us groans or gives birth to our answer, the treasure chest, things we've never thought, things we've never heard, things we've never thought of, you know, or seen, the Holy Spirit brings to our attention. Groaning, birthing, your answer. We groan inwardly. We give birth inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. Verse 26, in the same way, as a woman giving birth, the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. We do not know how we ought to pray. For the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans. Now, he's not talking about we groan in prayer. He's talking about the same analogy that the Spirit of God groans from the inside. We pray inwardly from the Holy Spirit, groaning, giving birth to new things we've never heard, seen, or imagined. Got it? Groaning, giving birth from the inside out. And so he says the Spirit of God prays, intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's perfect will. Now, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, is a marvelous strategy that God has placed in the earth realm. Because Satan has no clue what's happening. He doesn't know what we're saying. We don't know what we're saying, but what happens is we pray in tongues. We're praying out of our own spirit. The Spirit of God prays through our spirit. We're opening our mouth, right? We're the one praying. But the Spirit of God prays through our spirit. They're one. As the Holy Spirit prays through our spirit, so connected to our mind, up bubbles thoughts as God's Spirit is praying through our spirit. We call that revelation. Now, the enemy has no clue. Now, think about this. God has a system. It's better than any mystery or spy movie you've ever seen because God has a system of communication. He can download the plan without Satan having a clue what's happening until it's too late and when you actually step into occupation. He goes, oh, I missed that one again. Oh, those fish. Oh. Cassie's out of debt? Darn it. I tried to ruin his life and finances. Are you catching this?
Yes.
These things you've never thought. Praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit of God, praying by the Spirit, through your spirit, these mysteries. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14th chapter that when you pray in tongues, you pray mysteries, things you don't know. He also says in verse 4 of chapter 14 that he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. The word edify means bring instruction. How many could use some instruction by the Holy Spirit on your problem? Praying in the Spirit, Paul says, it brings edification or instruction. This is why Paul said, I'm glad I pray in tongues more than all of you. He says it's pretty valuable stuff, right? And so we need to understand praying in the Spirit is awesome. We started our company by an unction of the Holy Spirit, a dream. We have to walk it out, of course. Now, we walked out television. We had to walk out everything. The Holy Spirit's going to give you a strategy. I remember when we launched television. We were talking to some friends just this week, I think. We talked to Pastor George about this as well. Television's expensive stuff. You know, expensive stuff. We started television at $9,000 a month. I thought, God, how are we going to afford that? We were building our campus, Faith Life campus, our church campus, costing millions of dollars. All the money was just totally being, you know, just sucked up as we were building that. And television is $9,000. I thought, Jesus, how are we going to, you got to help me. How are we going to pay that? Well, it went up to $50,000. I got so nervous at $50,000. I mean, I have to admit, I got a little nervous at $50,000. I went to a meeting. I'll be honest. I was discouraged. Okay. I'll be honest. You mean you weren't in faith? I was not in faith. I got discouraged. And I thought I'd sneak in the back of this meeting that I knew was happening, this pastor's meeting. I'll just sit in the back row. I knew the pastor there. I'll just sit in the back row. I'll just sit there. You know, I just need to have someone kind of minister to me. As I sat down in the back row, I heard this voice clear across the auditorium. Pastor Gary, you're here. And this lady goes nuts. She starts running over to me. And I'm again, when you're discouraged, do you like people coming up to you and talking to you a lot? People all excited? When you're discouraged, you want to be in a pity party. You don't want people coming up and say, so awesome to see you. This is a sanguine personality, you know, bouncing off of you. You want to sit in the back row, right? Just like, let me just sit here. Come on, anyone? Yeah, is that right? Come on. I want to sit there. Here's this lady. She's bouncing off the wall. She comes running over. You're here. Oh, my goodness, Pastor Greg. God said you'd be here. This is amazing. You're actually here. I said, you know, in your mind, you're thinking, oh, brother. Right? You know, here, what story, what it was, you know, I don't know. You're here. God said you're here. So this amazing thing happened this morning. You know, Pastor Gary, you told me that when God called you to television that he sent a gold coin in the offering. Remember that at the conference you did? I said, yeah. And he said to you that as you took the coin, you told me that he said that he would show you where the money's at. Remember, like Peter, that he sent that gold coin in the offering to remind you he knows where the money's at. I said, yeah, Yeah, I remember that. Well, this morning I was in prayer and God said to do something really strange. He said, take a quarter and take gold foil and put it on both sides of the quarter. And here it is. He said, you would know what that means. And she pulled out of her purse this quarter that she put gold foil on both sides. And she said, you'll know what that means. Oh, I had to repent big time. I knew exactly what it meant. Did you forget what I told you? Hey, I know where the money's at. I mean, amazing, right? So a little bit after that, you know, the money's going up and the building's going up and bills are going up. Then we have here's what God said to Amy, my daughter, is prophesying in our prayer meeting. And she stopped and looked at me and said this, the harvest is too big for you, she says. I am stretching you. Only by my spirit can you understand what's about to happen. Will you step out? Let me lead you to hard things beyond your understanding, the impossible. Sounds like fun to me. But I know enough about God. See, I've learned enough about God to say yes, because I know it means promotion. I said, sure, God, absolutely. Well, it was just a few weeks after that, they offered us a daily slot on television. Now, if you don't know much daily slot on television, your bills suddenly go up five times the amount instantly, right? Just say yes. Yes. Okay, good. That's what happens. They said, you know, you might fall behind in a month or two, but you'll catch up. And so 6 months after we were down the road, we were $500,000 behind on our television bill. And the attorney, or the guy, the airtime people called and said, our attorneys are getting nervous. And your television program is called Fixing the Money Thing. Well, I was getting nervous. Oh, I'll tell you what, Drinda and I went on this trip and I'll confess, you know, we're just human. And I was dealing with that. And all she would say to me, you know, have you ever had a pity party and you want people to say, it's okay, it's all right? She didn't. What did God say? What did God say? In Albania, what did he say? He'd pay for it. What did he say? He'd pay for it. Remember, he said he'd pay for it. Yeah, I know that. But what did he say? He said she wouldn't let up. What did he say? What did he say? What did he say? Finally, I said, you're right. He said he'd pay for it. I don't know how he's going to pay for it, but he said he did. I repent. And we prayed, and I felt that just a peace come over me. And I said, oh, praise God. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. We went home a couple days later, and I had a dream in the night. In the dream, I saw a pile of checks. I saw the people's names. I saw the amounts. That weekend was just a normal weekend at our church. And guess what happened? $500,000 came in the normal offering, which never had that amount. We paid off the entire television bill that weekend. And the checks that I saw were there. The people's names were there. Everything that he showed me was there. Are you going to let the Holy Spirit lead your life, friend? I'll tell you, it's the greatest mystery ride you'll ever be on in your life. God has plans you've never even thought of, heard of, or seen. Praying in the Holy Spirit and then doing. We'll talk tomorrow about the plan, a little more in depth about these things. But I want to make sure you understand this. For those that are maybe watching, we're getting ready to close here. So I thank you for your patience. But Acts 1:4, let's take a quick look as we wrap this up. You know, people tell me all the time, and again, I know this church is taught very well, but I am anticipating there are people who do not understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you want to pray in the Spirit and pray in tongues, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus talked about this in Acts, the first chapter. He told his disciples not to leave Jerusalem in chapter 1 and verse number 4, but wait for the gift of my Father that he's promised, which you've heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on. I want you to underline the word comes on you. Because people say, well, Pastor Gary, when I came to Christ, I received the Holy Spirit then. You did, on the inside. When you were born again, your spirit became one with God's spirit. Notice the difference. The baptism of the Holy Spirit shall come on you. You remember Jesus being baptized at the river? The Holy Spirit descended upon him, right? It says, on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Remember that phrase, on you. Now in John chapter 20, after Jesus' resurrection out of the grave, he came to his disciples and said, again, I'm reading verse 21, 22. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That is when they were born again. That's when they received the born again experience. The Holy Spirit, he'd already come out of the grave, and they received the Holy Spirit on the inside. But he said, wait, don't leave until this Holy Spirit comes on you. All right? So people get confused. They say, well, I'm born again. I have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do. But you need the Holy Spirit to come on you, the baptism to enable you to do the works of service. Basically, the Holy Spirit coming on you is basically God coming on you to do his work. You're basically a vehicle carrying God around, is essentially what's happening. You're carrying his anointing around so that God can work in the earth realm. Essentially. Acts, the second chapter, of course, you know these scriptures, run through them very quickly. The day of Pentecost came, chapter 2, verse 1. They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house. They were sitting in. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated, came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God enabled them. Well, Pastor Gary, that passed away, right? No, we need to look over further in the same chapter in verse 38. It talks about this. Peter said after he preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every Christian. Every Christian. Now, it's essential that you see in the Bible how urgently the first disciples understood the need of this. Jesus said, don't go anywhere. Don't leave without it, right? Stay in Jerusalem until this anointing from God comes upon you. And we find in Acts chapter 8 that, of course, let me give you a little history. A persecution broke out in Jerusalem. The disciples were scattered. We find in Acts chapter 8 a story of a gentleman named Philip. Now, verse number 4, Philip, of course, was in Jerusalem, and he had left Jerusalem, and he's now in Samaria. Verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet, what? Come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of Jesus, or basically they were born again. But notice how vital the early church felt. Wait a minute, these people are born again. They need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they sent them immediately. Did you see that? Immediately. Now, there's a lot you can cover here in the book of Acts, but let's just jump to one more scripture. Back in Acts 19, I think we can get a clear picture here. Verse number 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Notice Paul was asking these people who he assumed were Christians, believers, had they received the Holy Spirit since they believed? They said, no, we've not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul was confused. He asked them, well, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism. Remember John the Baptist. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit did what? Came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Please note that Paul knew it was possible to be a believer in Jesus, yet not be baptized with the Holy Spirit. These are two separate functions, being born again and being baptized with the Holy Spirit, friend. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit come the gifts of the Spirit, the ability to pray in the Spirit, the power of God on your life, and this is a mighty, mighty change agent in your life. And so you need this baptism, friend. If you're going to pick up the mysteries, you're going to be able to discern direction, you need to be able to pray in tongues. Now, I grew up, yes, give the Lord a hand, that's amazing. That God can download mysteries under Satan's nose without Satan having a clue, and you win the victory every time. It's absolutely stunning. I never heard that growing up. I heard that all this passed away. I grew up in a, I won't say the name, but a Methodist church. We love the Methodists. We love you Methodists. Okay, I'm sorry. We love, but we never heard that in my Methodist church. Now, there are a lot of Spirit-filled Methodist churches. But in my Methodist church, I never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was taught that this has all passed away, that miracles had all passed away. At age 18 and 19, I was hungry for God. Is this true? Is this Bible? Every time I read this, I saw signs and wonders and things happening. But I didn't see that happening at church. I was confused. I began to investigate, you know, what is this real? I ran my father's pizza shop, and one day a man came in who was an evangelist. He was holding a revival down the street, and he said, I'm holding a revival. I said, fantastic. He says, I teach people that Jesus is doing the same things he did when he's on the earth. I said, what? He said, I teach people that Jesus is doing the same things he did when he's on the earth. I said, really? I need to know about that. I went down to that revival, heard him teaching about Jesus, and the presence of God was so strong at that Methodist church that I recommitted my life to Christ. I was so excited about God, and I started going to that little Methodist church. There was a group of ladies that met for a Bible study. I worked at night. They held a daytime Bible study, and they were talking about God doing things, people healed, things happening, and I thought, I've never heard that. Do you mind if I come to the women's Bible study? They said, sure, come on. I was their pet. I was 18, you know. So I went to the Bible study, and they began to tell me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, they said, we have a great big meeting this coming weekend called Women's Aglow. Would you like to come? I said, well, yeah, I'd love to come. It's all ladies, they said. That's okay. So we went down there, and here they're teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they said, anyone that'd like to receive this baptism, please come forward. So I went up there, they laid their hands on me, and man, the power of God, I began to pray in tongues. I began to, the presence of God, I was so excited. God is alive. I mean, it was awesome to know this thing is real, right? Now, what you don't know is I was placed in charge of the young people. I was the youth leader. I'm 18, right? I'm a youth leader at my Methodist church, which simply meant we played games on Sunday night. And we'd have a little Bible study, but essentially we had pizza and, you know, it was good to have fellowship. Boy, I couldn't wait to tell them what I found out. So we had the Sunday, we had about 15 young people there, and my pastor was there. I thought he knew all about this. I mean, I'm young, right? He's sitting right beside me. And so they're all sitting in Indian style on the floor. Now, no one had taught me anything about anything. No etiquette, nothing. You know, I just say, guys, guess what I found out? The baptism of the Holy Spirit power shall come upon you. And it's an amazing thing. And I took the only scriptures I knew, what I heard at that meeting, I told them the scriptures. And I said, who wants that? You know, young people are like, yeah, I want it, right? And so I didn't know how to pray for that. I just said, okay, bow your heads like all good Methodists. Close your eyes. They're sitting in Indian style on the floor. And I said, let's just pray. Father, I thank you that you baptize these young people with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I heard this commotion. And I look up. Some of them are laughing. About six or seven are praying in tongues. They're shaking. And the thing I noticed, they were glowing. They had a glow on them. There was this amazing thing. Until I heard, Gary, can I talk to you for a minute? Oh, it's my pastor. Oh, it's my pastor. He's sitting next to me. Can you come over here? He pulled me aside and said, I'm not having this. This is of the devil, he said. I thought for a minute, I thought, I didn't touch them. I didn't do anything. I knew God's, I figured God's doing that. But you know, in your 18, your pastor you respect. I mean, I was kind of deflated. I thought, did I do something wrong? You know, these people are all glowing by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the next week, instead of sitting up towards the front where I usually sat, I sat in the back row. Well, the second to the last row. And in my church, we had this moment of silent meditation every week, right? And you know what that's like. It's like the really holy moment that as a kid, I'd play, I'd pretend. Oh, I heard that. You know, it's like quiet. Holy is quiet. No one moves, no one breathes, right? And in the middle of this quiet moment of meditation, I'm sitting on the end, someone's tapping me on the shoulder. They're standing up. I thought, who would stand up in this quiet moment of meditation? I look up, it's one of these young people that had been filled with the Holy Spirit the week before. And I see he's glowing like he was the previous week. I said, okay. He says, okay, let's go. I'm thinking, are we going somewhere? He said, I want to pray for mom. I remembered his mom was sick. She was facing 5 vertebrae that were going to be fused in her back. She was having a very serious back surgery. He's the only son. Now he just heard the week before, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you shall be a witness of my kingdom. And he's like, hey, I found the answer for my mom. So I thought we're going to go up there and pray for his mom like normal, just kind of walk up there. So he walks up, I follow. His mom's in the second row. He reaches down and picks her up. Surprised me. She's a small woman, maybe 5'1", thin. Picks her up and carries her to the front of the church and sets her right in front of the pastor sitting in the big red velvet chair. And then he begins to pray in tongues as loud as he can. Now I know why he said, come with me, because he figured I told him about this. He knew that I would have to tell them about this now as well. She was instantly healed. Instantly healed. You would think the people would be happy. But that week, if I met the members at the church, at the Kroger's or at a store, they go, that was awesome. The lady's healed, but oh, those tongues. Oh, can't have that. And that's how the devil feels about it. He can't have that. He's going to make you feel like that passed away, that it's not of God. It's of the devil. He's going to try to convince you it's not your answer. But friend, praying in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the key that unlocks the mysteries, that gives you the opportunity to know, start a business, catch that fish, do this, do that, prosper. People say, I thought this is a financial seminar. Friend, it is a financial seminar. We'll get to the numbers. You've already tried the numbers. The numbers are exciting. Tomorrow's going to be exciting. But right now, this is the night in our conference that we invite people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like you to stand with me, and you that are there online, we have a booklet that we have free. In fact, those that are here, you can pick it up at our table, called The Baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's yours free. You can pick one up on the way out if you'd like it. Online, all you have to do is request that. We'll mail it to you, no charge. It's vital. The early church knew it was vital. We know it's vital. I know it's vital. You need. And you know, if you have questions, feel free to ask us. Call into Eagle Mountain Church. They'll help you, but get your questions answered. We understand there's a lot of controversy from past that's not true. The Word of God is true. It's for today. Now, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit like you do anything else by faith. It's by faith. Now, if you're here today and you would say, I would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have people who want to pray with you tonight. Anyone here say, hey, Pastor, I need that. We used to call this session Wealth by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's going to give you the keys to the kingdom as far as opening up the mysteries of your direction and plan. Who else would say, I see a couple of hands. Who else say, I would like to receive. I believe that's for me. Then would you come on up front, and your prayer team, Pastor George, would they come up front as well? And come on, now if you don't have that, you need this, If you don't have the baptism, you need this. Tonight's your night. You need this. You need this tonight. You need it tonight. You need to receive this tonight. That's right. You need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it. Amen. 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 Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord.